Between my work here at WBUR and my old job at the Globe Spotlight team, I've filed my share of public records requests. Various federal and state laws require governments to provide you, if you ask for them, with a wide range of internal documents. There are obvious exceptions for national security and personal privacy, but for most things, you just have to provide a detailed request and wait. In Massachusetts, the law says that state and local officials have to at least get the ball rolling on your request within 10 days. The process isn't always that quick, but many reporters eventually get what they're asking for. But what happens when you want to peer into the inner workings of your town hall or your state rep's office? Well, here's an interesting story about that. Last year, blogger Barry Rafkin of SomervilleVoices.org got curious about parking tickets in Somerville. He wanted to know which neighborhoods were generating the most ticket revenue for the city and whether certain areas were getting targeted above others by meter readers. So in April 2009, he emailed in a request to see a record of all the tickets issued in Somerville over the last few years and didn't hear anything back. He nagged and waited until more than a month later.
I was told that in order to produce the records that I requested, the city would have to charge me a very high fee to print out all of the parking ticket records and then go through a process of redacting those records to take out any personal information, and this would take thousands of dollars.
What kind of personal information would need to be redacted? Well, stuff like license plate numbers. Rafkin figured those should be pretty easy to delete with a few strokes of the keys in a spreadsheet, and it turned out he was right. City officials in Somerville told him they were in the process of converting to a computerized system that would allow them to fill his request much more easily. Rafkin said he was happy to wait for that, so he waited and waited. A total of 5 months went by, during which Rafkin felt that he was stonewalled at every turn. So he called Joe Bergantino, director of the New England Center for Investigative Reporting at Boston University, whose stories run regularly in the Globe and here on WBUR. Bergantino proceeded to file a similar request for parking ticket information with the city of Somerville. He had to have his own back and forth with the city, but within a few months, he got what he asked for. Blogger Barry Rafkin still hasn't had his request resolved.
The fact that they treated Joe Bergantino so differently says to me that they are going to respond to these requests not equally to everyone, but depending on how important they feel you are.
Now, I should note that Somerville officials dispute Rafkin's account of events. They say his request was much more sweeping and much more nebulous than the request that Joe Bergantino sent in, which they found targeted and easy to fill. So perhaps knowing which question to ask is just as important as who asks it. Another nosy Somerville resident named Michael Morrissey is the co-founder of a website called muckrock.com, which offers to help citizens formulate and pursue public records requests that might not rise to the top of the pile the way those do from the Boston Herald or WBUR or other mainstream media outlets. Michael, thanks for coming on Radio Boston.
My pleasure.
So, Michael, this story we just heard about Barry Rafkin of SomervilleVoices.org, is that a common story, that what he believes was the stonewalling when he tried to make a public records request?
I think it absolutely is. And it varies a lot city by city. Many agencies, even within one city, are very responsive, while a similar agency might be non-responsive at all to a small-town reporter's or a regular citizen's request. Well, they'll often respond quite quickly to a reporter's request.
So your website tries to help people who want to make public records requests have more success. So first let me ask, do you think you do help them have better success?
I think absolutely. We've been very happy to see that two requests Barry has filed through muckrock.com. He's at least gotten original helpful responses, and in one case, they waived most of the fees and gave him his documents within a few days.
And what do you think it is that you're doing that helps them get better outcomes or better outcomes than they were getting on their own?
I think we do a couple things. I mean, I think, as you mentioned in the story, having a nice, clear request is incredibly important. Most officials want to be helpful, but if you send them 5 pages of detailed rambling, it makes it tough. So we make simple, easy-to-understand requests, and then we file it to the right agency.
Tell me more about that, because in this case, Rafkin's request asked for parking ticket data going back to the year 2000, whereas Joe Bergantino's request, which was ultimately fulfilled, only wanted tickets back to 2007. So is there a skill to knowing what specifically to ask for in addition to knowing how to ask for it?
Right. Well, I think that illustrates a great point in that it's a lot of times you should start small, and then when they reply with that original data, then go say, okay, now I want 10 years worth of that data after you've given me 1 month.
That's interesting. So you think it's an advantage to start small and then widen rather than start huge and then narrow if you don't get a satisfactory response.
Right. I mean, a lot of times, especially if you're talking about fees, they'll waive the fees earlier on. And then if you ask for a larger data set, well, it's a little hard for them to backtrack and say that was in the public interest, but this isn't.
Speaking of fees, in Barry Rafkin's case, Somerville officials told him they were going to have to charge him thousands of dollars to print out pages and pages of documents and then to redact them by hand. Is hand redacting still really something that people who file public records requests come up across? Is it not much more easily in this electronic age to redact?
You'd think it would, and some agencies are really ahead of the ball in this area, but a lot of agencies, even when they're trying to be helpful, just don't know how to electronically redact documents safely. I mean, there's been a lot of high-profile cases where an agency will try and electronically redact, but then somebody knows how to use a computer really well can unredact the documents, which agencies are very wary of now. We actually put in a request to the state government asking for some internal emails about the healthcare caps. They were very helpful. They got back to us within a few days with everything we asked for, but it was like 400 pages of printed out emails, and they could have charged us hundreds of dollars, but they waived all those fees. So I called them up and I said, why did you print out all these emails, which are by nature electronic? And the woman I spoke to said, well, you know, we work with our IT department and they just send us a bunch of files that we don't know how to redact at all. So we print them out, redact them, and just hand remove them as needed.
So basic lack of technological knowledge sometime might make them resort to just a printer and a marker.
Right. Basic lack of knowledge and basic lack of tools for electronic redacting.
With state and local governments under tremendous financial pressure, is it really realistic for them to keep up with the many public records requests they get?
Well, there's an easy answer to that. Just make as much as they can public to begin with, and then they don't have to deal with those requests.
Even taking into account that they feel like they have to redact a lot of what they might ultimately make public.
Well, I mean, I think they should require that in the systems that they pay for. Say, we need to be ability to make this stuff public. And if they put that in the bids for the software that they're using, it'll really minimize the cost to them while increasing overall government transparency.
Michael, can I ask how old you are?
26.
You're 26. Are you making a living doing this, or is this just a side project?
This is a part-time project for us, but the site pays for itself.
How does it pay for itself?
We do some small fees for requests, and we do community funding.
Michael Morrissey, thanks for coming on Radio Boston.
My pleasure.
Michael Morrissey is the founder of muckrock.com, a website that helps everyday people pursue public records requests that government might otherwise ignore. If you have a story about a records request that you can't get filled, tell us about it at wbur.org/Boston. We have to take a quick break. When we come back, hey, all you Boston area grad students, are you thinking you may have to leave Boston for a cheaper city after you finish your degree? Well, one local economist has an idea that would get you some less expensive housing during the years when you're getting your career off the ground. We'll tell you what he has in mind after the break. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. This is Radio Boston.